This is episode 74 of Sustainable Photography. I'm Ingvild Kolnes, and today we're talking about something that I've always found hard and that you probably struggle with as well, and that is sales. You're listening to Sustainable Photography, a podcast all about business tips, inspiration, and confidence building. I'm Ingvild Kolnes, the host of this podcast, and after over a decade as a photographer, I now help talented photographers run sustainable businesses. And for full transparency, you should know that I'm a mentor with paid offers, and I will probably mention some of those in this episode. With me today, I have Michelle Terpstra, who's a sales coach and strategist. She went from working in a Fortune 500 company to having her own online business where she coaches other entrepreneurs to master sales. She believes that persuasion, influence, confidence, and leadership can be learned. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you here. I can't wait to talk about sales with you.
Yay! I love sales. I cannot wait to talk to your audience and all the listeners about how much fun it can be.
Yeah, I know. I know you love it. And I don't love it yet. And I know that most of my listeners don't love it either. So that's why I asked you, because you are a sales coach. And I'm so curious to know how you ended up becoming a sales coach, because it's something that not everyone loves to do.
I know, I'm one of the few, right? And actually one of the very few women. There is very few women, unproportionately to men, in revenue and sales. And so my journey is not unique, but it is also really important. So I'll share that with you. I spent 10 years working for three different Fortune 500s and a small consulting firm as a sales leader. And during that time, I found myself at every single job wanting to do more than just sell. And I was stuck because I was hired to be a salesperson, right? Which is, I need to do my job. And I remember that at one of the companies, I got the opportunity to be a new hire mentor. So the new hires that came on, they did ride-alongs with me. It was a field sales job. So they'd ride along with me. I'd ride along with them, support them, all the things. And that was one of my most favorite things I ever got to do in all of that time. And after I had left that job and I moved on to the other ones, I kept seeking that over and over again. Like, oh, can I support the team? How can I do this? Does anyone need coaching? And I found myself so much more interested in getting everyone else successful because it was simple for me. And I have this personality that if it becomes too simple, I get bored and I want to move on to more. Right. And so I found myself just being like, okay, great. I'm wonderful at selling. I can make a ton of money staying in B2B sales. People who are very successful in sales make a couple $100,000 a year to $800,000 a year. It's an incredibly lucrative career path. However, I just felt this giant pull that I wanted to help others love selling and be as good as I was. And to me, that lit me up. That never gets boring to me. So right before the pandemic hit, so it was like, I clearly had no idea it was going to happen. So January of 2020, I went to my husband and I said, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to start my own company. I want to create a sales training company and help people learn how to sell like I do. It is where my heart is and my passion. And I know I can be really, really great at this. And he looked at me because he always is like, well, you know, I can tell you my opinion, but I know you're going to do what you want to do anyway. So he's like, I support you, right? And so I did it. And this is a really important thing for your listeners to hear this. So I left behind a lucrative six-figure job and to start my own business. And I never once in my head actually thought, will I be able to pay the bills? Will I make money? Will I get clients? None of that went through my head. What went through my head is, how soon can I get a client? How much can I charge? Who needs me the most? And how do I find those people? And it's really important that you realize the difference between this, because I believe that if you are great at selling, want to be great at selling, or desire to be great at selling, you will be so much, you will have the access to making so much more money and impact way quicker than someone who fears it, doesn't want to do it, procrastinates, all the things. So that's where the passion is lit up inside of me. And that is why I show up every single day and on average coach about 80 people per week.
That's pretty incredible. That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people, a lot of different business types, and it's really fun.
Yeah, I'm sure, because you really seem to love it. It's not just something you say, it's like in you, really.
It does. It exudes.
Yeah.
The energy doesn't lie, right?
No, it doesn't. So this podcast is about sustainability. So I have to ask, I ask everyone the same question. What do you think it takes to have a sustainable business?
You have to have things in your business that you can rinse and repeat for success. If you don't have that, then you will burn out. You won't be able to double down on the things that actually work really, really well. And you will be frustrated. You'll feel like you're starting over all of the time and you won't get the traction and the joy that you should.
Yeah, I think you're so right, because a lot of the times we just try to find new things. And if we don't have a system and we don't really know what we're doing, we're just kind of making it up as we go, then it's just going to take us so much longer.
Yeah, so much longer. And it's stressful too. But what I have found is that most entrepreneurs, most business owners, they are multi-passionate. So it is extremely difficult for most to stay on target with one process and actually see it to its maximum success. That is really challenging. And so if you're that type of person and you're listening to this, I have a confession. I'm that type of person. Okay. So I never ask people to do things that I wouldn't do myself. And, you know, I have to remind myself when sometimes when you say yes to things, you're saying no to things that are more important, right? And yes can take you away from your almighty goal. And so it's something I've had to get really good at to say, like, okay, that's amazing and that's a great opportunity. But if I say yes to that, then that gets the back seat. And that is more important right now because it is my revenue driver, right? So unfortunately, we have to kind of tame our multi-passionate self sometimes and just see things through. And then when you're done, you can move on to the next. And for some, that's even really, really difficult. And I always say, like, your business isn't your only creative place, right? So if you feel the itch for growth or change or interest, like, go do something different on the weekend that's exciting, right? Feed your brain in different ways.
Yeah, I agree. And it's something that we actually talk about a lot, especially when it comes to photographers, because photographers chose to be photographers. They most probably just stumbled onto it. You know, it was their hobby. And then it's like, oh, can I do this for a living? And then they try and hopefully it works. But we're so used to this being something fun. And it's the fun factor that's usually driving the decisions. So it's like, yeah, but I don't want to quit any of the kinds of photography I'm offering because they're all fun to me. Or I keep making investments that I think are fun, getting new equipment or buying new props, or the decisions often aren't made on what's a good business decision. It's what's fun. And it's kind of the same thing where it's like, yeah, you can still shoot whatever you want. You can still edit all day, every day, if that's what you want to do, but your business shouldn't depend on it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for me, I mean, I'm really disciplined. I am probably one of the most disciplined people that I know. Nothing gets in my way of the thing that I'm going to accomplish. And I'm very, very committed to it. And I'm really proud of myself for that. But at the same time, the second that I'm done with what I need to do, I am the most fun person you have literally ever met in your life. Right before I got on this podcast, I'm starting to do some talks for another organization. And I was telling her kind of a similar thing. And I said, for example, over winter break for my kids and for everybody listening, I live in New York in the United States. I'm very close to Canada. And Toronto's just like my friendly northern neighbor. And they're about an hour away. And so we're driving up to Toronto with the kids. I have a 6 and 10 year old. And I'm so excited because we're going to the Great Wolf Lodge. And depending on where you're listening to this podcast, the Great Wolf Lodge is an indoor water park. Okay. Most women my age would be like, are you out of your mind? You're going to go to an indoor water park? That sounds like the worst idea ever. And I'm like, oh no, they serve cocktails, there's food, our hotel's there. I'm going to go down the biggest water slides in the world with my kids. My phone's not even going to be around. I'm so excited for that. And I think that it feeds me to have that discipline when needed, but at the same time, let's go have fun, be silly, engaging. Your life can be so full.
That's really great. So since we're talking about selling, I need to know what it means to you. What is selling?
Yes, selling to me is, it's match. And without being great at selling, you will never know if you're a good match. You will never know if you can make an impact in someone's life. And you will never know, you know, how many people you have the opportunity to help. So for me in sales, when I get someone on my own sales calls, the last thing on my mind is, how much money am I going to make right now? The first thing that's on my mind is, let me get to know this person. Do they have a problem that I can solve? Is there a way that I can help them? And am I honestly the best solution for their problem? And if you ask the right questions, and I'll get into why this even applies to photography and how important this is, but if you ask the right questions, you can quickly identify if you are a good match, then you invite them to be a match is the best way to describe it, right? And they are going to feel just as aligned as you are if you have done that discovery call properly, or if you've communicated properly on your website, referral, social media conversation, whichever way you communicate for sales. And it is a matchmaking process. And it is incredibly important, especially in photography. Like, you want to take pictures of things that you love. You want to work with people and businesses that you love. And so instead of thinking about like, oh, how much money you're going to make, or will they say yes, or all of this chatter, just have a conversation with someone, see if you can fix their problems. And then everything will be super simple.
Yeah, you make it sound simple. But part of the problem that a lot of photographers have is they're kind of scared to charge. Back to that thing that, you know, they chose photography because it was a hobby, it was something they were passionate about. And people keep telling them that, oh, it's not possible to make a living from being a photographer. You shouldn't charge to do things you love, that kind of thing. So it's partly that they're scared to charge. And then if they do charge, it's often not enough. So how can you learn to love selling when you feel guilty about it?
Well, first of all, the starving artist thing is, you know, such a martyr story. So first of all, let's kick that to the curb, because you have two choices and you are totally empowered to make these choices. You can have a job that you don't love and make a good living and do your photography on the weekends or in your free time and keep it in art. That is option one, right? Now, if that fills your cup, you get it. Right? Like, that's perfect. But however, I'm willing to bet most people who listen to this podcast and that are in your world actually want to monetize what they love. And there is no shame. There should be no fear around it. There should be no guilt around it, because photography and the product that you're producing is of extreme value if you have done your job as a matchmaker, right? And just remember that, like, the photos I have of my family, that is family legacy, that is gifts, capturing these memories that I want to visualize for the rest of my life. Like, that's a huge value. My professional photos I have for my business, that, let me tell you, if you're a branding photographer and you're listening to this, like, I have spent enormous amounts of money on brand photography and I have never, ever regretted one of them, right? Because they are a business asset and they do get me clients. And it is really, really important. So just reminding yourself, you have the choice. You're either going to get paid to do what you love and you need to charge enough to survive, okay? Or you're going to get resentful, or you're going to end up leaving it, okay? Or two, you keep it a hobby. And that is totally fine. But I am willing to bet, like I said before, everyone listening to this, you know, is desiring a lot more than that.
Yeah, I think so too. But still, when they're trying to sell, when they're trying to make it a business, or even when they have a business and it's just not going well enough, something is going wrong. What do you think a lot of people do wrong when it comes to sales?
Okay, so first of all, not being clear on what you're selling is number one, okay? If you are not clear on your packages, your pricing, who it's for, the type of you want to do, where it's going to be, that leaves too much vagueness in sales. Vagueness stresses you out and it leaves the buyer confused. Okay. So be ultra, ultra clear on what your offers, your pricing, and your packaging is. And I know that you help your clients build these amazing websites for lead gen, and that's a perfect place for you to gather those thoughts and to position it properly is on a website.
I agree. I think a website can do so much.
So much. So that's number one. And then number two is not doing it at all. And I know that sounds like kind of an obvious one, but I can't tell you how many people I've worked with that are literally doing anything other than selling. They will literally braid their hair 4 times, clean their desk 7 times, just because they don't want to face the music of having to sell. And so I really encourage you to like grab a friend maybe and be accountable to selling every single day or doing activities that are going to move the needle or hiring a mentor or joining a professional group that everybody is doing this. Like you need to normalize it and make it part of every day. And then just like anything else you do, if you do it every day, it becomes easier, less stressful, part of the routine. So that's number two. And then number three is not being confident when you're selling and not being in a place of authority. When I say matchmaker, you're not going to be somebody's best friend in order to make a sale. That is not necessary. What's necessary is that you build rapport, which is likability and trust initially, right? But then you have to take the step of authority. And I talk to the concept of sales leadership all of the time. And what sales leadership means to me and what it should mean to you is not that you have a sales team and you're like the leader of it, although that is a traditional application in a big business. It means that you yourself have leadership characteristics that come through during your sales conversations. It means that you're able to lead a conversation, close a conversation, and provide an amazing service.
So I just have to ask, so when you say you should sell every single day, where does the selling process begin?
Yeah, so it depends on what your particular system is for your business. I will use me as an example because I think it's kind of like a common way to get clients is, you know, I built my business during the pandemic, so anything in person was not going to ever happen, right? And so I built myself off social media and have a global business. Like I have clients in tons of different countries. It's super fun for me. And, you know, I did that all through social media. So for me to sell every day, it means that every week I need to sit down with my team. And if you don't have a team, you do this yourself. And what content's going out? How am I being visible? How am I driving conversations to my DM or to book calls? Or how am I filling the program that's open at this time? That is intentional. If I woke up on Monday and just was like, oh, I'll post when I feel like it. Or, oh, I don't know, I'll check my DMs in a couple of days. You are not feeding your selling machine, right? So that's where it starts. So for you, I just ask, like anybody listening right now, where does your sales process start? And commit to it every single week to make sure that you're actually feeding it.
Yeah. So selling isn't just kind of the interaction when you're sitting down, talking together, maybe sharing a proposal. It starts with probably then sharing on social media or having a visible website that, you know, you're doing something to make sure it's visible.
Yes, you have to have a front-end funnel. So when just breaking down the funnel, like a funnel in general, a very basic common practice of it, you have front, you have the front-end funnel, you have mid-funnel, and you have the end, right? So the front is website, social media, your YouTube channel, like wherever you are visible is that front end. That front end's job is to capture some initial information, right? So either a follower or an email address, an inquiry form, whatever that is. The mid funnel is wherever you're nurturing and they're experiencing things from you. It could be your emails. It could be more social media content on a higher level. It could be a live event you have, whatever your strategies are, right? And then the end is clearly then the actual sales conversation. So selling goes through all of it. And I always say, like, if you're not feeding your pipeline is simply somewhere where you keep track of opportunities that you have to work with people. If you're not feeding it, then it's really hard to sell if you don't have anybody to sell to, right? So you have to constantly feed your funnel, feed your pipeline. And I think for most photographers, a powerful website is a perfect, perfect way to start.
Yeah, I think so too. I know that some photographers can make it without a website, but I think a website is going to help a lot of photographers if it's made effective. And I also think that Instagram is something that helps a lot of photographers, but you have to kind of be present on the other side of it. You have to engage and have conversations with people.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, I personally would never hire a photographer that didn't have a website. That's my own opinion. It would seem very bizarre to me. And I love it. Like, I know I can go to Instagram and look at all their photos and stuff, but you know, I pay premium prices for things. And so there's a certain expectation I have on the back end of it. So a website would be like literally bare minimum for me to be interested. So if you like charging a lot, then I'm your person. So build a website.
That's great. That's great. How are your prices and packages? Are you sure you're as profitable as you want to be? When I first started out, my prices were way too low for the longest time, and I was losing money on most of my assignments. I'm not saying that this is true for you. I just want you to know that you're not alone in thinking that pricing is hard. Since charging way too little back in the day, my pricing and packaging game has changed. And now it's one of my favorite topics to talk about. Being profitable is a key part in having a sustainable business, and I know that so many photographers make lots of mistakes in the way they come up with their prices and the way they present them. If you want to work out your prices and create profitable packages, you should come join the live pricing workshop starting on March 20th. Go to ingvildkolnes.com/pricingworkshop to get your ticket. So how do you think it can affect a photographer who's afraid to sell, afraid to charge, and who keeps just avoiding that part of running a business?
You're making your life so much harder than it needs to be. And that doesn't sound like any fun to me. Like, I want to enjoy my life. I want to have fun. Whatever you value, you may not be like me. Like, I love to shop and I love to travel and all those things. But, you know, maybe you like other things, but everything costs money. Everything costs money. And so for you to enjoy your life, which then feeds back into your art, which makes your art even better, then it is so important that you just do what you need to do to feel okay to sell. And like I said before, grab a friend, be accountable, or invest in a mentor.
So mindset is a huge part of this from the way you're speaking about it.
Yes. Yes. And you know, it's interesting. I serve a lot of different types of clients. I help solopreneurs and founders that are making their own sales, all the way up to large sales teams that I'm supporting. And these are professional salespeople. This is like what they do, right? And still, when I review calls or I'm like, hey, what's going on? They're like, my inner dialogue, my life, this, that. And it immediately shows up on every sales conversation that you have, or even your social media posts. People read in between the lines, like they're attracted to an energy. So if you're in a bad place and you communicate that anywhere that's visible, that's going to impact your sales, right? Including social media content or, you know, your sales conversations or whatever way people can listen to you, podcasts, things like that, right? It's really, really important. And so before you're going to get visible, before sales start to happen, whatever you're doing in your business, like feel good before you start your day, right? Start your day with gratitude. Start your day with intention. Start your day reminding yourself of all of the beautiful photos that you've taken and reading through testimonials and all these things that light you up. And then it won't be so hard.
Yeah, that sounds like a great way of starting the day. And I think just getting your mindset in place will make a huge difference. And one of the things that I think makes it really hard is the whole aspect of pricing, because prices are something that's often hidden away. It's something like, oh, let's not talk about it. And I know for myself as well, like I'll happily avoid the topic of pricing and money, but maybe you have some thoughts on how that can be easier, or is it even important? Can we make sales without talking about the price and just charging for it and sending out an invoice without, I don't know, how
can we do that? No, don't do any of that. You don't want to surprise people and be like, oh yeah, thanks. And then surprise, here's your invoice. Like I'd be pissed, right? So I'm like, what is the price? So listen, make it easier on yourself and make yourself a pricing guide and use that, right? And then if you do have a website, put it on your website, make it easy. Let everybody see it before they even talk to you. I've seen a couple of different, like the photographers I've hired, some have done it, they've all kind of done it differently. Sometimes you request the pricing guide and it's sent to you, or it's just visible on the website, but just stick to it. Stick to it. It's not negotiable. It's there. Here's my pricing. Easy breezy, lemon squeezy.
So there's different ways of doing it. A lot of photographers have packages where everything is, so if you work with me, this is what you get. Other times there's like maybe a sitting fee and then you can purchase what you want afterwards. Do you think you would handle sales differently if you do the sitting fee? Should you present all your packages and make it clear what the end pricing would be? Or is it enough to get people in the door?
So, I mean, if you're new and all you're comfortable with is a sitting fee, I always say start where you feel good, right? However, it doesn't make, to me, I don't think that's very sustainable. I mean, just I'm crunching numbers in my head and I don't know how you project or forecast or anything with that business model. So my sales brain kind of gets a little spazzy and I start to get a little worried. So packages are much more predictable. So as you're building a business, you can predict your income and create sustainability, set goals, things like that, right? So for me, if I was to advise someone, that is what I would say. However, always be upfront no matter what you're doing. So if you have a package, so I've been in a couple of different scenarios. So for example, most of the time what I have elected to do for myself for family photos and for professional is this is the package. You get this, 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 or that. I'm going to take way more pictures than this. So you will have the option at the end if you want to add more on, but you absolutely get what is in this package right now. To me, that feels the best. I like that the best. That's my preference. So I have a package, but I also know that if I want more, I can get more. Okay. Also, another thing that I think is really powerful is depending on how you host your photo galleries. I had one of my first branding photographers I bought a package from. And then she was like, well, your gallery will stay open for like X amount of months or something. And you can come back and purchase more at that time if you want to. And I thought that was really cool. And I did go back and purchase some additional photos that I wish I had gotten in the beginning. So there's a lot of things you can put into your business to create sustainability and predictability. And being transparent about your pricing is honorable. So do it.
Yeah, I agree. I think sharing prices, it makes it a lot easier. I know I would never even inquire with someone who didn't have their pricing because I would have no idea if they were in my budget. Like I would have no idea.
Right. So just be transparent. And also, other people's money is not your business. That's another thing I want everyone to remember. So I'm going to say it again. Other people's money is none of your business. So what I mean by that is if you start saying, oh, I can't charge this because no one will pay it or my person won't pay it. Who are you to say that? Like everybody values money and uses it in different ways. So don't project your values of money on other people. Let them have their own values of money and where they want to put it. And that in itself will really, really help you with pricing.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think you can necessarily know by just thinking or looking at someone what they would pay for something. And this is an example I use a lot of the time. But since I know a lot of photographers, I've heard so many stories. And in this particular example, a friend of mine was shooting a newborn. Like it was a single mom, a newborn. And she didn't have a lot of money, but she'd saved up. She knew she wanted to do this. So she'd saved up for the longest time because she really valued it. So she ended up spending a lot of money because it was what she wanted. And then at the same time, another friend of mine was shooting a wedding for one of the richest guys in Norway, like a billionaire, you know? And she gave her package, the highest package or the package they were interested in, and it was about $6,000. And the wife was like, no, this is outside of our budget. So it's like, you can never know. You can never know what someone else's budget is. And I also say that your dream client will always pay what your price is. So there's no point in having a dream client that wouldn't pay what you're asking because then they're not your dream client.
Exactly. That is a beautiful story and that should be told over and over again.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So just to like a summary, what specific things should a photographer know in order to be successful in sales?
No. First of all, how do you want to get clients? Are you going to have email conversations only? Are you going to do it in person only? Are you going to have Zoom? Are you going to have a phone call? Are you going to do it on social? Commit to your channel. Okay.
Yeah. So get clear on that first.
Get really, really clear on that. Okay. And you can have multiple, but just commit to it. And then two is put together your packages or how you're going to do your fees and make sure that that is available so you can clearly communicate And then three, I really, really want you to, and you could go to my YouTube channel. There's tons and tons of videos on there, but you need to get clear about how you step into leadership in order to have a profound sales conversation and that you can stay in a place of authority so that you can do as many one call closes or one conversation closes as possible, because you cannot spend an extraordinary amount of time having four or five different conversations. You're going to get burned out really easily.
Mm, yeah, that makes sense. So if someone wants to sell more, like right now, I need to sell more, I need more money. Is there something they can do to kind of get some traction or to kind of pick up on a conversation, or what can they do?
Yeah. So a few things. It depends once again on the type of, you know, sales funnel that you have set up and system in your business. However, go and see who's liked your social media content, who's engaged, who are your new followers. Have you talked to these people? Are they potential clients for you? Right. Also, if you email, like who's opening my emails? If you have a referral system, can you go out and ask for additional referrals? How can you show up in places where your potential clients are going to hang out? For example, if you're a family photographer, what local mom groups are you hanging out with? You going to the park? Where are you meeting people? Show up where your people are going to be and tell people what you do would be really helpful. Okay. And then just make sure that you ask for the conversation. Like if you meet like a really simple, pure example, like I've actually hired a photographer like this when I had like my son at a park. And she came up to me and we just started talking. She had a kid too. They were all playing. And I was like, oh, what do you do? And she's like, oh, I'm a family photographer. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And it was like near Christmas time or something like that. And she's like, yeah, I have a mini session, like a rotating mini session that's coming up for, you know, holiday cards. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's perfect. That's exactly what I need because my kids only sit still for 10 minutes. And like, she got a client in 5 minutes. So it doesn't need to be this very hard, complicated, stressful thing, right? But if she had avoided mentioning that she had like a mini sitting coming up, we probably would have parted our ways and I would have gone on my day and then gone home and Googled for one, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it can be hard for a lot of people to mention it because they don't want to come across as salesy, because that's something we have bad feelings about, like salesy. You have someone in mind when you hear that. It's like a guy on the phone calling you, cold calling you to sell you something. And no one wants to be that person.
Yeah, salesy is simply, I think the best definition for what salesy really is it's taker energy. And taker energy means me, 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 right? And that nobody wants to feel taken from. And that is the true translation of what salesy feels like. Is it's all about them and it's not about you. And so if you're having a conversation at the park, like if this woman was, oh, your kid's so cute. You know, I'm a photographer. Do you know how good of a photographer I am? Like I could totally catch your son in the perfect, I'd be like, who are you, right? But instead she was like, oh, and what do you do? Oh my gosh, have you lived here for a while? That's amazing. And then, you know, do you send out a Christmas card? She asked me that, I remember. And I said, yeah, I send out a Christmas card. Oh, awesome. Like what photos are you going to use this year? And I said, you know, that's funny you ask, because I'm kind of thinking that same thing right now. And that's how that progressed into there, right? So I even have it, and I think, yeah, I'm not sure if it shows the correct on the back of the screen here, but that says always be curious. And so if you approach conversations with curiosity that are centric around other people and not yourself, then you will have profound results and selling will feel much easier.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great. And I think, again, this goes back to something I talk about a lot when it comes to website and social media, that so many photographers talk about themselves. I like this. Book me because this is what I want to do. And it's just like, it's all about them. And I think you'll get so much further if you just flip it around and talk about your client and what they want and what they need instead of what you want. And it's like some people are so, do it so much that it's almost like begging. It's almost like, not even almost. I've seen Facebook ads for photographers that are like, please book me. And it's like, no.
No, I mean, that's the taker energy, right? It's just like, that's not attractive, especially for like a photographer where if I show up, you better be like lit on fire, ready to take the best pictures and not be a drain to me, right? And if you have a drainful, horrible conversation, you can only predict what the experience being taking photos of is going to be like, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you can recommend one thing to build a sustainable business, What would that be?
Please, please, please sit down. And I want you to just write out how you're going to get your clients. Simple 3 to 5 steps that is rinse and repeat and commit to it. And then do everything you need every day, every week, every month to stay accountable to it. And there are so many different ways you can get clients. So I'm not going to tell you how to get them, but you need to know your system and you need to do all of those things over and over and over again. And then everything's going to just feel so easy and simple and fun. And the money will come, the joy will come, the artistic expression will come, and it'll be a beautiful thing for you.
I love it. Perfect. You have given us so much advice, Michelle, and you can't really have a business without selling. It's vital. It's what we need to be able to keep doing this. So where can the listener go to keep learning from you?
Yeah, so I have 2 places I would love to see you show up. One is my Facebook group, Hello to Closed. It's high performance sales for entrepreneurs. And I would love to see you there. It's a really fun, vibrant community. And come hang out. I have frequent trainings and tips and all of these things that are super valuable. And then alternately, if you're interested in just getting some accountability, some mentorship, some support, I have a membership that's called the Sales Success Lounge. And I would love for you to jump in there and get the support and the lessons that you need in order to be great at sales. And the details of that will be included in the show notes.
Yes, absolutely. I'll be sure to add links so that everyone can find you and follow you and keep learning, because this stuff is so important. It can't be said enough. You need to sell without feeling guilty.
Yes, 100%. And I'm so glad you're doing this podcast so that you can reach as many photographers as possible and let them know how important this is. And then I also have to say, like, a big thing is, like I said, and I just want to end this, is please, please, please make it easy for people to know your pricing and your packaging. This will make such, like, even if it's not a package, if it's a sitting fee, and make it really clear on the website. And, you know, I know that you have your program, which is the Sustainable Photography Program. And I think that's a really great place if people are struggling right now of what their visibility strategy looks like. So I would just really encourage you to take the time and set your business up so it can be sustainable.
Perfect. Thank you so much. This has been great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yep. You're so welcome. I'll see you soon.
You just listened to an episode of Sustainable Photography. Please share this episode with a photographer you care about.